This episode of the Nerd Up Podcast made possible in part by Eagle Theater. Visit them online at eagletheater.net. And by Classic Hits WTYE. Listen online at WTYEFM.com. And made possible by proud supporters just like you. Intermission is over, and it's time to intermingle at the Eagle. Eagle Theater is thrilled to once again be bringing you the free Summer Kids Movie Series. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, June 8th through August 4th, bring the kiddos for some great kid-friendly fun. Doors open at 9:15. Adults are free when accompanied by a child. Seats are first come, first served. State COVID guidelines will be followed. It's the free Summer Kids Movie Series at Eagle Theater in Robinson. Learn more at Eagle Theater.net.
Sticks in concert August 19th in Evansville. Classic Hits WTYE wants to send you to the show. Be listening weekdays from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. When you hear a Sticks song, call in and get registered. Then every Friday in July, be listening to see if your name is drawn. If you win, you get two tickets to see Sticks in concert August 19th in Evansville. From Classy Hits 101.7 WTYE. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo
arigato. Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod host, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm your host, Guilty Wilson, along with
Tony Collins.
And we're both here sitting comfortably in our newly created studios.
That's right.
For the Nerd Up Podcast that has happened to be in the back room of WTYE Radio.
Yeah, basically what happened is there was a room empty in the back of the station. We thought,
Podcast.
It had previously been used as the makeup studio for a production.
That's right.
That was filmed in part here at the station.
And that was directed by who our guest is today, Jed Bryan. So welcome to the show, Jed Bryan. Jed, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, you're in the trick chair. I saw you just slip down a little bit. Yeah, Jed's in a chair that you raise up, and then like every few minutes, it'll lower down about an inch.
Yeah, the hydraulics editor just kind of shot, so we give that to the guests.
Please donate to the Nerd Up Podcast to get a new chair.
Yes,
absolutely.
We just need one studio chair because the others are fine. So anyway, yeah, Jed Bryan, we talked with him before a few times on the podcast. Basically, you came out with a movie back in 2011, or is that when you started working on it?
Started working on Unlisted Owner 2011.
Okay, Unlisted Owner. And over the COVID time period, theaters were having a hard time showing movies because nothing was coming out of Hollywood. And our local theater, Eagle Theater, who also supports this podcast, they had a drive-in. They created a drive-in outside in their parking lot, and you got to show Unlisted Owner at a drive-in. I mean, how cool is that? A horror movie at a drive-in.
Well,
go on.
Well, first off, I got to thank you for that, for helping me get set up doing that. It's such a cool moment because Unlisted Owner is shown in an actual movie theater. It's shown in, you know, it's been on streaming. It's been on Blu-ray, DVD, and now drive-in.
A drive-in.
So the only thing left is VHS, which we may try to do because there is a market for it, believe it or not. So
I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well,
so
only if only it was just you know, a limited, you know, like five or six of them that you sent out as publicity, you know, publicity for the what are you doing, director's cut?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of crazy because, like, I mean, which Gil, he's been to different horror cons. I mean, people sit there and they have them for sale, and they actually cost more than the Blu-rays, and people will collect them. So, I mean, it's an avenue that we thought about, but we knew we were doing the director's cut, so we decided just to kind of hold off until we get the director's cut done, which it's kind of taken a little bit. We've had some stuff kind of come up, and then, you know, also with the, you know, with all the COVID stuff. So I'm hoping here in the next month or so we'll be able to wrap all that up.
Plus, you got a radio DJ that's got to record his scene that doesn't seem to be motivated. I mean, gotta get on those guys.
I know, right? Give him a free T-shirt. And what do you think?
Hey, they're done. So now, what spurred you to? Okay, first of all, What year did Unlisted Owner actually get released? Because I knew it was a process for you.
Yeah, it we wrapped in 13. It came out on DVD and digital in 2017. We made the Amazon Top 10 in, I think it was like September, October of 2017, which is insane. You know, a little, you know, low-budget found footage horror film made the Amazon Top 10. So, so yeah, so that was kind of the timeline. So it was released in 17, and then recently we signed a new distribution deal with POV Horror, which they basically specialize in just found footage movies. They, that's all they distribute. So we're they requested a director's cut, so we are in the process of putting one of those together. So hopefully it'll be released. It should be released this year, but I guess I don't know an exact date since we're still kind of working on it.
Right. Little things here and there coming up, like other projects doing. And, well, one of the things, so it wasn't Zack Snyder that influenced you to do a director's cut?
No. Oh. I never in my life thought I'd be still working on Unlisted Owner 10 years later, because we started it in 2011.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
This is the 10, so, I mean, what better time to have a director's cut than 10 years after the film was started? So this is actually the 10-year anniversary. So maybe,
hashtag restore the Brianverse.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. 10-year anniversary version. Unlisted Owner.
Well, and that's kind of cool because, well, for one thing, you're going to be filling in like some gaps, not necessarily gaps, but you filling in with some more action going on and things going, like that awesome scene with the radio DJ making the news announcement.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be terrifying.
Yeah, we're going to, like I said, we're going to kind of change up, not to give too much away. We got some changes we got to make to it. We're going to try to, there's some questions people have always asked about it. We're going to try to answer some of those. So probably not all the ones people would like to know about the film, but we got some that we're going to answer. We still got to leave some out there for a possible sequel, maybe eventually. We'll see. We'll see.
Unlisted Loner 2, Electric Boogaloo. I can see it. So, all right. So Unlisted Owner, director's cut. You got that. You're working on that. That's going to be coming out sometime soon. Hopefully soon anyway. But you have other projects. I've actually had the pleasure to work with you on a couple of these. First of all, I'll jump into the one for, was it, oh, I can't remember, P.J. Stark's company. I can't remember the...
Blood Moon Pictures.
Blood Moon Pictures. Okay, yeah. That's the one. I get them mixed up with Full Moon. So anyway, Blood Moon Pictures, and that they did a thing called 13 Slaves Till Christmas, and you had a short in that, because it's a group of shorts. It's an anthology. Mm-hmm. And you did Kringle's the Christmas Clown, and which I did the sound for.
Yes.
It sounds awesome.
It does.
It does. The sound just makes the movie.
If it weren't for the sound.
That's right.
So. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, like you see so many films sometimes where the sound is just not, it's, you know, like the picture quality's good. You know, you can tell the cinematographer did a great job, but something's off with the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't applaud you enough, because the only thing we had to mess with was whenever we had the actor who portrayed Kringle, Steve Christopher. We actually had to have him record a line, and we had to mess with that. So that was the only sound we had to mess with. So I appreciate that, because with Unlisted Owner, it was a nightmare sometimes with sound. So
yeah, and that was, I mean, again, you were doing it found footage. It was your first major film project, so you learned.
Yes.
And definitely so. I mean, after watching Kringle's, I've got the 13 Slaves Till Christmas Blu-ray, and after watching Kringle's, it's like, maybe I'm biased, but I thought it was the best one in there.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, a lot of people say it's one of their favorites. I mean, there's some really good shorts in that.
Oh, yeah, there were.
But yeah, I mean, you know, a killer Christmas clown just hasn't been done before. So I was so excited to be like the first one to be able to kind of put the two together about this killer Christmas clown that comes on Christmas Eve. But yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of good feedback on the character and stuff. And who knows? I mean, eventually we may try to make a Kringle's the Christmas Clown feature.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Pretty cool,
like,
I think.
One of the
his backstory.
Yeah.
One of the scenes that spoke to both of us a little bit was the crazy DJ that ended up killing like one of his coworkers.
Oh yeah. Dead Air.
Yeah.
I had a cameo in
there. Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah. I thought you
were one of them standing there, mouth agape, looking.
Yeah. Yep, that was me. And then I was also behind a wall holding up a light for them. So yeah, so I got a little bit of behind the scenes work there too. But.
Well, and see, that's the thing that maybe a lot of people don't realize is the glamorous work that happens behind the scenes with even small productions, maybe even more so with small productions. You know, we've all kind of talked about different things coming up and kind of slowing down the process. But when it comes to doing films like you do on a budget, you have to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you can farm it out to somebody else or, you know, we'll ship this off to a different studio to take care of the background shots. You're in for all of it.
Yeah. You wear a lot of hats. I mean, if you're going to make an independent film, you gotta kind of have a common knowledge of everything. And that's the key. You gotta be able to cover all your bases and be prepared as possible, because I know there's some people out there that have told me that, you know, well, oh man, I forgot, I didn't get this shot. I'm gonna have to try to go back and get people together to reshoot. So I always try to make sure I have a shot list down. I play it over in my head how I want it to look, make out my shot list, and just basically don't even look at the script. Just look at the shot list, unless you're just kind of like making sure the lines are right. That's the only reason I look at the script. And thank goodness, you know, my most recent one, I had a script supervisor. I kind of wish I had one for Kringles, but I mean, Kringles still turned out excellent, except for the fact, I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I was going through, because I was, you know, highlighting the scenes as we shot them, I was like, I didn't have one highlighted. And I thought, did I get this?
Oh, no.
I think I did. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I did. And I'm like, I probably shouldn't have done this. But I'm like, I'm just going to go with my gut and say I got it. So after we wrapped the night and the next morning, I thought, I probably should have just shot that. But I had it.
Okay,
I had
good.
It, thank God. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of them things, just like something like that. Just, you know,
I was going to say, did you get any sleep at all that night?
After I thought about it, I'm like, I called Brent, and I'm like, Brent's my co-editor, mm-hmm. and helps me out a lot, and called Brent, and I thought, do you think we got that? And he goes, I don't know, you were marking it off. Well, I think I did, because he was running Slate that night.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'll tell you what, that was my first experience working with an independent film, or, I mean, I've been an extra in films, but never behind the scenes. And when I was an extra, it's basically you go stand here, look good, you're done. With you, it's like the way what'd you call it again? Your shot list?
Oh, yeah, my shot list. Yeah.
Yeah.
My Bible, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically that's how he treats it, like a Bible. I mean, it was the script was maybe this thick, but the shot list was, you know, yeah. about 8 inches thick.
Yeah, so, I think for Kringles, we did 23 shots.
I believe it.
From 6 p.m. till, I think, a little after midnight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's a lot of shot setups and everything, but we knocked every one of them out.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's one of the things I talked about after being behind the scenes here when you were filming at the station, which, again, thank you for letting me hang out. And I told Gil, I said, I literally have nothing to do with this production, but I've managed to weasel my way behind the scenes just to hang out and watch the process. And I tell everybody, when you go to the theater, when you watch a movie, you don't necessarily realize how much time goes into creating even an hour and a half movie. You know, you guys were here shooting for several hours, and it's a lot of set up, shoot. And, you know, part of the process here was waiting on Mother Nature to hurry up and let the sun set so you could get some shots. But it is fascinating to be behind the scenes and see that process.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of work that goes into it, because, you know, a lot of people don't think, like, you know, lighting is everything. If you don't have your lighting right, it can completely ruin. Like, it doesn't matter how beautiful the shot is, if the lighting looks terrible, if something's like really like overlit bad, or if it's too dark and you have to lighten it, then you got noise you got to deal with. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that you got to make sure that you have just right. So, I mean, each time the camera cuts back and forth, that's, you know, we shoot that shot, we tear down, we go to the next shot. We set up, we get the lighting right, get everybody in position, and then film it.
I've heard Kevin Smith say, in fact, that's why Clerks was in black and white. It was not an artistic choice. He just didn't want to have to mess with any of the lighting and color matching and all that other stuff that has to be done when you shoot a film. I remember the first time it dawned on me, or it occurred to me, that movies are not shot in chronological order. Most of the movies are not shot in chronological order. You'll shoot a scene for the end of the movie first thing, and, you know, or all of the scenes in one location will all get shot that day, you know. And mm-hmm. that's a wild idea to think about. So having a Bible shot list becomes imperative.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, you can't, and that's the thing, like whenever you're, like after you write something and you sit down, you're like, okay, now we got to film this. So let's see what, so you have to basically sit there and pull your brain apart and say, okay, each one of these shots, okay, what would be the best order that would make it the easiest for us to shoot? Because, you know, if you're going to be set up inside, for instance, you know, we're going to be set up for Kringles. We were set up inside a bedroom. So let's film the hallway sequence first, and then we go inside the room. Let's try to get all the shots from this side of the bed filmed. Okay, now let's try to get all the low angle shots filmed from this side of the bed. Okay, now let's come back and we, you know, let's film this shot, and then we can film the gore shot. And then, you know, and sometimes it depends on actors too. Sometimes, you know, like location of where you want to have the camera set up doesn't play in, because say you only have this actor for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a little longer for you to film, but you got to get all that actor stuff done first. So, I mean, there's a lot that plays into it. And then, you know, also, you know, whether how long you have your location for, and, you know, the time of, you know, the time that you're going to shoot it at. I mean, there's a lot of factors that play in whenever you're creating a shot list. I mean, it's not like you just go through and you're like, okay, this is the first scene. Okay, that's going to be the first shot. Okay, that's the second. Okay, we're you can't do that. You got to try to figure out what would be the easiest to shoot that would require the least amount of setup and the least amount of moving lights, so that way you can just get it done as quick as possible. Because, you know, that's the thing, like whenever you have to constantly, you know, have people tear stuff down and move it from room to room, and they're mm-hmm. like, okay, we were just in this room, so why didn't we just film that scene? I mean, that kills morale on set. Yeah. So you just, you know, you want everyone to get out of there as quick as possible, but yet you still want to have the best overall product. And sometimes to try to do it as simple as possible, that may, you know, it helps everybody know, still be excited about it.
Now, when did you first lose your mind and decide that you wanted to do independent films? I mean, is it something you've had a passion for since you were little, or did you just wake up one day batshit crazy and think, let's go make an independent movie?
Originally, I wanted to do, like, I went to school for digital entertainment game design, and I was like, you know, I mean, I liked movies and everything, and but, like, all of a sudden, I don't know, like what it was, but, you know, God just gave me, like, all these ideas, and I was just, you know, I felt like, you know, if I don't try to make these into a movie, it'd be like wasting talent. So it's like, you know, yeah, I wanted to try to make video games and stuff, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to see if you could actually make a movie. And I kept getting all these ideas and stuff. So then, you know, I just started writing them out and wrote a script called Meth House. And we decided, okay, let's see if we can make a teaser trailer for it. So then we set, you know, put pen to paper and wrote a teaser trailer and put it on YouTube to see if it got any traction, which it didn't really go viral or anything, but it was a good learning experience. And then we did the GoDaddy commercial contest, and we got 8th out of 539 videos on it.
Yeah, it's a very naughty GoDaddy commercial that they did, by the way.
Hey, it got me an Alienware headset, I guess. So
okay.
Yeah, that was my prize. But it would have been better if I could have got the $5,000.
Dang, right?
Stupid guy in a banana suit. But anyways.
yeah, but you had a guy whacking off in a closet.
Yeah,
so.
But we'll let them judge when they see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then it got to the point where it was like, okay, all my friends still live around here. Some of them had moved away, but then they all came back in the area. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to make a feature film, I need to try to make it now. And let's try found footage, because we don't have the funds to be able to get a whole crew together and stuff. So we did Unlisted Owner. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like how everything kind of fell into place. I just kept getting these ideas for movies, and I felt like if I didn't, you know, it'd be just a wasted talent, and I would be doing, you know, I'd be doing myself and everybody else who likes this type of movies and stuff a disservice if I didn't try to make it. You know?
Well, and if you have those many ideas buzzing around in your head, eventually it starts to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
So you just have to get them
out
of your head.
You have to do
it. That way you can move on with life.
Yeah, you have to do it. Yeah, it's weird, because it's like, you know, you you have these ideas and you're like, okay, if I don't do this, like, I'm going to feel so down on myself for the rest of my life if I don't try to get some of these ideas out there and, you know, let people see them. So.
Well, see, that's one of the things. Last summer, there were a couple of horror conventions that were still going on. Jed took me, since I did the sound for one of his little short films, I got to be helping him with his booth. Actually, what it was is I was just the one handling the money and, you know, making sure that people paid. But anyway, we at these conventions, one of the things that came out is that you know, the people still want horror. You know, it's that, I mean, this, the COVID, people weren't allowed to go anywhere. We weren't allowed. Well, people wanted it so badly that they made it that they had to go to this, well, two horror conventions. And they said, okay, you got to be fully masked. You got to wear a mask the whole time. Attendees and everybody. That shows you how bad people want horror. So Jed's putting it out. He's got to put it out.
Yeah.
So because there's more people like that, that'll do anything just to get more horror. Yeah. So it's got to be done. Well, I'm not going to go chronologically necessarily about what your work is, because I'm just going to go chronologically from what I know that you've worked with. Unlisted Owner, we talked about that. That one's, now, is that still available anywhere?
Unlisted Owner? Right now, because like I said, we got a new distributor for the POV horror, so it's not available on streaming, but you can still get physical copies on Amazon on Blu-ray. And then if you'd like a signed copy, a DVD or Blu-ray copy, or just a regular DVD or Blu-ray copy, you can go to MakeFlix, MakeFlix.com, and order them on there.
Okay. And they can order a signed copy there. Or they can just come see you at any convention.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while, because I have a feeling you're going to be busy this summer.
Yeah, yeah. Probably won't be hitting the convention circuit this year.
Yeah.
I'll probably go up to Days of the Dead maybe for a day or something. But other than that, that'd probably be about the only thing I do, unless someone invites me to do a panel or something.
Yeah, because when we start talking about what his plans are, you're going to get a kick out of this, Tony. But so then the next thing I work, well, okay, 13 Slaves Till Christmas, that's still available. Scream Team Publishing.
Yep, Scream Team Releasing.
Or Releasing.
Yeah, you can get it on Blu-ray, and then they also have a signed version, which I signed, and you also get a signed 13 Slaves poster, which is really cool. But yeah, definitely check it out. If you're into Christmas horror and anthologies, this is your film.
Yeah, and even if you're just into horror, I mean, this is really cool. 12 stories wrapped by one story, so the 13 Slays. And there's some really cool stories on there. Of course, Kringle's, I'm biased, and that's my favorite. But the one with the zombie, Dead Air is really good.
Yeah.
The one with the zombie reindeer, that was really good.
Yeah. John Hale, yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, there are some very good ones. Make sure you do yourself a favor. Watch the behind-the-scenes footage, too. Because that's where Gil makes his triumphant appearance.
Yeah.
On the big screen. Well, it depends on how big your TV is.
So. Yeah.
So that was the last project until you came up. Well, during one of these conventions that we went to, Jed told me the story about, he's got this script. Actually, Jed telling me stories to these conventions was my highlight. It's just listening to him talk about these scripts he's got in his head. And one of them was called Radio Tower Road. And he told me about this one, and he recited the whole script on this 2-hour drive to, I think it was Louisville on that one. And I'm like, this sounds cool. I mean, really cool. But the only thing.
Yeah, as I recall you telling me the story in the past, it's he prefaced it with, I don't have it all worked out yet.
Yeah.
And then spent the next 2 hours telling you
how he had it worked out.
How he had it worked out.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. But the thing is, and being the devil's advocate or whatever, is like in the back of my head, I was going, but aren't zombie films overdone? Aren't people sick of them? But apparently not, because we have Army of the Dead out now. So, you know.
It's number one on Netflix. So.
Yeah. So zombie films are never going away. And that's what Radio Tower Road. Now, here's the deal. He filmed it here at this radio station where we're working, Tony and I. And that's how Tony got behind the scenes. And we won't talk about how you almost crapped your pants. But
no. Holy mother of God and all that's holy. When you were filming the scene where the zombie attacks Gil. Gil backtracks down the hall, steps into the studio. When he first slammed that door the first take, I damn near screwed the whole thing up, because he slammed that door so hard, I was sure he did a gainer into the cabinetry in our studio and was dead. I honest to God, it hit so hard and I... So...
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so
I had, for half a heartbeat, I had to go, no, it's a movie set. He's fine.
And so that was the next project, was Radio Tower Road. I just heard this thing, and he goes, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about doing, I'm like, what? And then he tells me, like, yeah, well, I got to do a trailer.
It's a shame that I don't know anybody who works at a radio station, yeah. Gil.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I wonder if we can find someone. But anyway, so then I guess I'll let you complete the story here. But basically, someone approached you. They wanted a trailer in the movie.
Yeah.
You go take it from there.
Yeah. Rocky Gray, who a lot of people may know as the drummer. He was in the band We Are the Fallen and also Evanescence. He also does horror movies. Mm-hmm. So he actually scores horror movies. He actually did the musical score for Kringle's The Christmas Clown.
That's right.
And
yes.
It just really, I mean, it took Kringle's to a whole new level.
It did.
Put that score in. So he has a horror anthology. It's called 1031. And this is the third installment. And after he scored Kringle's The Christmas Clown, he reached out to me and said, hey, we're getting ready to do 1031 Part 3. And we didn't know if you were interested in doing like a fake trailer, a Fox trailer, or however you want to call it for the anthology. And I'd seen, the first two, and I loved the fake trailers in it. I thought cool to see those in there. So the fact he was asking me to participate in this was awesome. But then he said, well, the deadline, is like June. And I'm like, oh man, like I don't have much time. I got to really, because I got the Endless Number Directors card I'm, currently working on, but I got to get this thing, I want to do this thing. So we ended up, I sat there and brainstormed for a little bit and thought, okay, what script of mine could I take in a reasonable amount of time and turn it into a fake trailer? And I thought, Radio Tower Road, I think that would work. I think, if I ask Gil and if we can get permission for the radio station, we're set.
Yep.
If we can't get the radio station, then I don't know what we're going to do. But so I immediately, as soon as I got through talking to Rocky, I messaged Gil and said, hey, is there any way that we can, use the radio station? And, it's going to be in a feature film and see what you could do, and you can play the radio DJ if you would like.
And that's what I said. Okay, I'm in.
So then it took a little bit, but to make sure we could get the radio station, get mm-hmm. everything else set up, because we were on a time crunch too, and had to make sure I could get my DP Derek Huey mm-hmm. to come down, and he did the film Mrs. Claus and Teacher Shortage, and mm-hmm. apparently he's done a lot of Nigerian films I didn't know about.
Yeah, that was funny talking to him. He's done a lot of, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, is he the Nigerian prince that keeps emailing?
He may be. He did a lot of films for him anyway.
But yeah, so I had to make sure I could get everybody's schedule right, and April is usually rain, so,
yep.
April showers, so. We had to make sure everything was kosher, but then we jumped, head first right into it, and we knocked it out in 2 days. So mm-hmm. I'm very proud of everybody involved. I mean, no thanks to a rotisserie chicken, but we got it done.
Yeah, the first night of filming, I go down there. It's on Friday. I'm going to do the sound on that night, and we had an intern at the station who's studying audio engineering, and she's. I thought, well, I won't be able to do the sound if I'm going to be the lead actor. I mean, yeah, that's more important. Nobody can touch me. So, hey, I got this intern. That's what she wants to do, and she's pretty good at it. So I took her down there to train, and just for one night. And we get there, and where's Jed? He had some bad rotisserie chicken. And then a couple hours later, we were there for a little while before some of the things started happening. Jed pulls in, and I'm like, man, you're really pulling off the zombie look there, Jed.
That was a rough night. Yeah, I was got some rotisserie chicken, and Thursday night I went to bed, and I think I went to bed about midnight, getting everything prepped for the next day, make sure I had everything packed, my slate and mm-hmm. Shot list and everything and storyboards, and woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and thought, man, I'm really nervous about tomorrow. My stomach is churning. And I dozed back off, and 1:30, I woke up, and I'm like, man, my stomach's really, really churning. I'm really, really nervous about tomorrow. I think I could throw up. I think I'm going to throw up. So I ran to the bathroom and just puked my guts up all night, and then I thought I wasn't going to be able to direct it, and called my assistant, Brent Parrott, to say, hey, man. I mean, I laid a bomb on him at like 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I can't cancel this. I got people coming from all over. You're going to have to direct this if I can't make it out there. But thank God for Pedialyte.
Yeah, yeah.
This If you'd like to sponsor the Nerd Up podcast, Pedialyte, and
we live on Pedialyte now.
I drank more Pedialyte than I think any kid ever has.
Well, you know what? It's funny.
That explains the gallon jugs of Pedialyte sitting around the station that day while he was here shooting.
Yeah, it was his supply. Well, that's funny because that night or that weekend, actually, after we got done filming, I saw you constantly with Pedialyte Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, they started showing commercials on TV for Pedialyte for adults.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
Man, I was drinking the kids' stuff.
Yeah, now they got it for adults.
Big Brother is watching.
I'm guessing so. They knew. Like, oh, yeah. We can market this better. So.
Yeah.
But you got through it.
I did.
And Radio Tower Road, it's going to be now in 1031. Hey, I said it right.
Yes, you did.
1031 Part 3?
Yes.
Okay, and that's... When's that supposed to be coming out?
I think it's supposed to be coming out in October. Okay. I know that there's still some guys that still have to film some segments, and Rocky, he's working on the score, which, oh man, I can't wait to see what he comes up with. And the whole fake trailer, it just turned out, you know, beautiful. I mean, from, you know, the sound, the cinematography, the acting. The makeup, the makeup is, you know,
I'm just blown
away by the makeup. I mean, my wife, Cassandra Bryan, she did amazing. Tabitha Blackwell.
Yeah,
now.
She's married now.
Yeah, she's married now. she did a fantastic job. Everyone did great. And, you know, and all the extras that came up and were zombies, Tony for shuttling people back and forth and also doing probably one of the coolest radio ads you'll ever hear in your life. I promise you, you will be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Can we make this real? It's pretty awesome. So, yeah. I mean,
everybody involved.
I mean, everybody did a fantastic job, and I'm just so excited for people to see this, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get some momentum going to maybe actually get this thing
a
full feature film of Radio Tower Road.
Well, I'm up for it.
I know Gil was telling me in talking with you early on, you had a trailer cut together that was circa 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And Rocky said, yeah, that's not going to work for us. We're going to need something closer to a minute and a half.
Well, we didn't ask him when we did we put all the pieces into the editor, and we sat there, me and Brent sat there and looked at it and thought, this thing's like, you know, over almost 3 minutes. This thing's only supposed to be like a minute 30 seconds. So we just started like, okay, we need to, because when we were first put it in there, we put it in there like it was, you know, like an actual short. So then we're like, okay, we got to just start cutting stuff. So then we just started cutting it down, tightening shots, and it just turned out so much better. Just doing that. I mean, we cut out, I mean, there's a lot of dialogue that we just, you know, cut out, but it made the flow of it just so beautiful and everything. So, I mean, it cut out a lot of that, you know, dialogue that wasn't exactly, I mean, it helped the story along maybe a little bit if it would be a feature, but for the trailer, it was, you know, it's not needed. So, you know, we just, you know, cut it. But, yeah, we got it down to, I think it's a minute and 50 seconds. So, but it's, you know, every bit of it is, you know, jam-packed with, you know, horror greatness.
And some really very cool shots.
Yes.
You know, not to give too much of it away, but just the lighting, the hero zombie, for lack of a better term, you know, some of the drone shots. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, granted, I'm a little biased because it was shot here and, you know, Gil and I had something to do with it. So,
but I mean, it's, you know, I mean, Derek did a fantastic job, you know, coming down. I mean, we set up the jib. We did some jib shots. We did a dolly shot. We did drone shots. Mm-hmm. We did Steadicam. I mean, you name it, we did it.
And that's, I told Gil, I said, when I got here Saturday, I didn't know what to expect. You know, you hear independent filmmaker, local guys, you never know what to expect. I walked through our front door and had to step over dolly tracks, and I went, shit, these guys are legit. Like, they ain't screwing around. And then, you know, I saw some pictures on Gil's social media that had the weighted jib in the studio, and I'm going, very cool. So, yeah, to be here, to be behind the scenes was a ton of fun. And, you know, I got to peek my head in here a time or two while your wife was working on makeup, and that's, you know, that's my jam. I'm totally into the visual effects, makeup, and, you know, I was a little disappointed that we weren't able to do one of the practical effects that we wanted to do, but I'm glad I didn't have to try to explain to management why there was zombie blood all over the studio.
The ceiling.
Ceiling, wall, floor, furniture.
Yeah. And you know, it took us a few takes too, to get it exactly right. And we would not have had enough of, you know, goodness to keep doing it. So
keep refilling
plus all the cleanup in between, we would have been here till
Now
Christmas.
I came in on the Sunday morning after shooting, and you guys did a fantastic job, by the way, of really leaving no footprint. There was a couple of zombie prints that I had to clean off of the wall, and perhaps a little blood print off of one of the windows, where I hear tell he fell backwards and smacked his head pretty good on the window ledge there. I'm hoping it was fake blood, but...
Well, see, there were that part, they were filming that from the other room through the window, and I'm in the studio with him, and they give him the action and all that, and he's supposed to fall and, you know, a certain way, and took a few shots, but there was one, I think the one shot that they included... He hit the sill of that window, and I felt it, and I was sitting, you know, right just a couple of feet away from him. I'm like, ow! He got up, no problem. I'm like, okay, good. But I don't think you guys heard the thump.
I didn't even know anything about it until you told me, because Levi Griffin, who plays our hero zombie, he did a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's a trooper. He fought right through. He sat through that. I mean, that makeup application, it took. Oh man. I think I can't remember if it was 3 hours or 4 hours.
I think it was about 4 hours.
Four hours worth of makeup. It was a full 4-piece prosthetic with bald cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was my wife had pre-painted it before she came up here, and they got it applied. And, you know, they're being...
Even with something being pre-painted like that, there's still a ton of airbrushing that has to be done, because it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is Hollywood quality.
Well, thank you.
Special effects makeup, because, you know, a lot of times when it's something that's applied, you can kind of see seams, or you can tell where the bald cap is, but I thought it looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was kind of looking with a pseudo critical eye going, and no, it sells. And the actor that plays the hero zombie, he did such a fantastic job. Yeah,
he did a good job.
You know, the first time we heard his zombie noise, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it saved me some money from going on Pond 5 and buying zombies.
Right there. Yeah, definitely. So now, okay, so, well, before we go any further on this, Derek Huey, the director of photography, we worked with him on Kringle's the Christmas Clown.
Yes.
And then you worked with are these the only two projects you've worked with him on? How'd you get him? First of all, I got to say, his work is beautiful, and I'm sure you'll attest to this.
Oh yes,
Some of the ideas and shots he'd come up with were just like, oh, yeah, that's awesome.
My favorite is when he was shooting you and the zombie down the hall, and you started to backpedal and ran right into him, and he's like, "I was not ready for that movement."
Yeah, I think the zombie scared him too.
I think so.
But he's very talented, and like we said, he's done other films, did some Nigerian films. How did you find out about him, and how did you run into him?
It's kind of a weird story, because it all goes to a Facebook group called Southern Illinois Filmmakers, and you know, after Unlisted Owner, you know, I'd post in there different interviews I would do, or different signings I'd be doing, if it'd be a Barnes & Noble signing, or if I'm going to be at, you know, Days of the Dead in Indy or something like that. And Derek had posted in there that, you know, he had recently moved from Texas to Illinois, and he was seeking work as a, you know, a DP, and he had all this equipment. So, and he had said he had done Mrs. Claus, which I had seen on Facebook, people post about it, and I'd even seen it in a video store.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I mean, if he did the cinematography on that, you know, it's pretty good. So I reached out to him and kind of talked to him a little bit and said, well, you know, possibly on some future projects, you know, I might reach out to you and stuff. And then so happens, you know, PJ Starks reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we're going to do this horror anthology, 13 Slays, and didn't know if you'd be interested in doing one of the sequences. And I said, yeah, I'd be interested. And then I thought, how am I going to film this? Because I don't have any equipment. So
I'm just the idea guy.
So I'm like, you know, I mean, I'd done Unlisted Owner, but, you know, I didn't want to do another found footage. PJ didn't want a found footage for it, which I completely respect. I mean, I love found footage, but, you know, after doing one, I I mean, I love traditional cinema more than found footage, so I really wanted to do something traditional. So that's when I thought, well, I'll just reach out to Derek, kind of see what equipment he has, and just kind of see what. And, you know, I checked out Mrs. Claus and stuff. So then we got to talking, and he said, yeah, you know, I, you know, this is my equipment, and, you know, I'd be more than happy to come down. So we booked him for it. And then I was, you know, trying to think, okay, well, you know, he has sound equipment, but who do I know that can do sound? Well, I know this guy named Gil T. Wilson that can do it. So I reached out to Gil, and, you know, the rest is kind of history. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's how I kind of met Derek, was because he happened to post in that group, and that's how it worked out.
It's been great, because then working with him on Radio Tower Road, that first of all, the amount of equipment he's got.
Oh, it's amazing.
If you got a shot, he's got the equipment for it. So.
Yes.
And well, I mean, and the lighting aspect that he could do, that, I mean, there were times when, well, Kringles, we shot it in a well-lit bedroom. You can't tell that from watching the movie. It's like the way he lit it was just
beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. And now he's done Radio Tower Road, or at least the trailer, and that's going to be out on 1031 Part 3. And,
I will say, I think I overheard him while he was shooting some of the stuff for Radio Tower Road say, dude, this is some of the best stuff I've ever shot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's very cool.
Yeah. And it was cool stuff, because we've seen the rough trailer. It hasn't been scored yet, but we saw it, and you don't get to yet. But it is really great work. I mean, and when you look at these things, that's the way you got to look at independent filmmakers. They're just people that are out there that are like, they've got the ideas, they want to do this, and they make it happen. And there's some great independent filmmakers out there that make Hollywood level films easily, but just don't have the distribution like Hollywood does.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people may not remember, but I think the original Terminator was a quote-unquote independent film. James Cameron was a little-known filmmaker at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was hired to do Terminator. So, you know.
They pay off. And Derek Huey is just phenomenal. And by the way, Mrs. Claus is available on Amazon Prime right now, so you can watch it on there.
Very cool. I'll have to give that a look.
I started on it, and it's like, oh, this is cool. And then we did Radio Tower Road, and I never got back to it. So, so now, again, we may get to work with him again. I say we because I'm stuck with being his sound guy, whether he likes it or not. Tony, in case you didn't know.
Well, I mean, like I said, you do great work. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the thing with 1031. I mean, you know, I had a script supervisor, you know, Jeff Ryden. I mean, he did an amazing job as a script supervisor. And then I had Bryce as my slate. I mean, you know, the crew that we had was awesome. Because, I mean, you know, for Kringles, we had a little bit of a crew.
Mm-hmm.
But
for
this shoot, I mean, we had...
You had a full crew.
We had a full crew.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was fantastic. And, I mean, it helped the flow of it so well.
Yeah,
so.
I can't tell you the number of phone calls, text messages I got going, dude, what the hell's going on at the radio station? Because there's like 8 cars in a parking lot where there's typically 1 or 2.
Right.
And then... It got even better the closer to sunset we got, because then we had like 50 people wandering around in the yard.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing some sort of prayer visual? What do you got going on out there? And I just texted back, zombie attack.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, one of the things I was going to bring up here is that Derek, you know, he got him. Again, you had me. You had, like you said, Bryce and basically the whole crew. During the night, there was some downtime when they had to shoot the outdoor scenes, and me being the indoor actor, there was some downtime. So I was sitting around, and I was talking, and Brett, Jed, you might want to close your ears because I don't want your ego getting too big, but I would talk to people, and one of the things that's like, oh, so why did you decide to do this? Well, Jed asked. Oh, okay. And then I ask another guy, why'd you do this? Jed asked. Okay. So that's all he's got to do? Well, yeah, he's a great guy to work with. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. And then then someone said, well, why'd you do it? Because Jed asked. He's a great guy to work with. So.
Why are you at the radio station?
I appreciate that.
Because Jed asked.
Yeah. So that's all. I mean, that's all you got to do is ask and you get it.
I really do. I have to. It's a little self-serving at the moment, but we do have to give a shout out to Mark Lang and the original company.
Yeah.
The parent company that owns the radio station out of Vincennes. When Gil came to me and said, hey, do you think we might be able to shoot a thing here for this zombie flick that Jed's working on? I'm like, yeah, hang on. it's not my station. We should probably talk to management. And we emailed Mark and said, this is a thing we'd like to do. This is who is going to be here doing it. Mark said, yeah, just don't tear anything up and tell him not to touch the tower because it'll kill somebody.
Yeah,
and we said, okay, fair enough. So, you know, a shout out to Mark Lang and the original company for letting us do this thing.
And
you know,
having fun.
Gil and I were in from go because we're both nerdy that way. We love movies. We love horror flicks. And the opportunity to be behind the scenes to do that kind of thing was just next level. So, you know, Mark, a little bit disconnected from that, but was still cool enough to say, yeah, go for it. And I think he's anxiously awaiting to see the trailer.
Oh, I sent him the...
Oh, did you send him the rough cut?
Yeah, I haven't heard word back because they went on vacation.
Well, thanks, Mark, whenever you listen to this. Yeah. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about your future project. Now, I know there's one that you may or may not... I guess you are going to be doing. It's called something about six-pack of bottles or something like this?
It's called Six-Pack of Horror.
Oh, okay.
And Southern Illinois filmmaker Jeremy Sador. He reached out to me. Actually, me and him went down and acted in a faith-based TV show called Dream Motel. And this is the second. It's Dream Motel. I think it's called Enemies of the State. And we were both playing villains in it. And he told me about this concept for an anthology and asked if I'd be interested in doing it. So that's going to be something this summer, and probably the next couple months, that we're going to try to shoot and knock out. Still waiting to hear a little bit more details on that, but the poster is out, and I'm very excited about it. Our sequence is called Trick Bottle.
Trick, yep.
So I'm pretty pumped about that. So be on the lookout for that. So I'm pretty pumped.
That one is, I love the concept of these anthology films. I just love a whole bunch of different people working on it, and I love just the fact that, again, two different, like, there's going to be six different stories in this one.
I think so.
It was like a six pack type thing. But the six different stories, six different points of view from horror that you're going to get. Like, and same with Kringles, the 13 Slaves Till Christmas. You look at these 13 different views of these horror stories, you get 13 different movies, basically.
Well, and that's what it is. It's really cool with the 13 Slaves Till Christmas, is it's all falls within the horror umbrella, but it also varies as to what exactly horror means to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be very, you know, visceral and graphic and gory, or it can be more cerebral. And so you get some of those that are just a ton of fun.
Yeah. And that's what I'm liking about this anthology coming up. I can't wait for you.
It's very good.
Yeah, he doesn't pay very good, but still, I can't wait to work with you on this one.
Love.
That's okay. He'll get you a rotisserie chicken. It'll be fine.
No. So now today, as we're recording this, Smiling Woman, is that the name of it?
Yes.
Smiling Woman 4 came out on YouTube. Talk about this project a little bit. I remember you showing me one of the earlier Smiling Women.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a concept that Alex Magana, or I think that's how you pronounce it. Sorry, Alex. But he had reached out to me in years past about possibly working on a project together. He's a LA-based filmmaker. The name of his company is ACM Official. And so we were talking about working on a project, but it never came fully to light. But I had written some stuff for it, and he seemed to like it. And so we kind of discussed about possibly starting to do horror shorts on YouTube. And he created this character called Smiling Woman. And so then he's kind of had me co-write some of the stuff with it since the first one came out, which the first one now, it's been out for over a year, but it has like 4.4 million views.
Wow.
So I co-wrote some other shorts for him. There's one called Gift Wrapped that he filmed around Christmas time. So check that out on YouTube. But Smiling Woman 2 was the first Smiling Woman I co-wrote on. It's only been out for like a month or two, and it already has like 200 some thousand views.
Wow.
So this time we upped our game a little bit. I co-wrote.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. I co-wrote on it, and we had discussed about possibly getting somebody who was kind of like a well-known person in the horror community. So we ended up getting Felissa Rose from the cult classic Sleepaway Camp. If no one's ever seen it, highly recommend checking it out. It'll blow your mind, especially the ending. she um, So she came out and, like I said, I co-wrote it and, with Alex, and, he filmed it. I think it was a week ago.
Wow.
And, yeah, he got it edited together pretty quick. And it just came out yesterday. And or actually last night at midnight Central Standard Time is when it was officially released. And last I checked before I went, got on the podcast with you guys, I think it had over 11,000 views in 14 hours, which is just insane to think, you know, something that was released at midnight has that many views. So, but,
and that's Smiling Woman 4. You can catch a whole bunch of those. Like you said, is he going to be doing a whole series of these? Or is there more to come?
Yeah, there's actually a part 5 that should be coming out next week, which I don't even know what today is. So whenever you're listening to this, it probably may already be out.
It probably will be.
But Smiling Woman 5, and it kind of picks up where part 4 left off. I don't want to give any spoilers.
but you had a big name in the horror field.
Yeah.
On this one. So what's the next one going to do? I mean, come on. You got to get like Chris Pratt to do the lead.
I mean, me and Alex have been talking about doing some other ones. So,
They're in talks with Robert Englund to,
if someone wants to give us money to book Robert, I mean, we'll get him in something. We will get him in something. I promise you that.
So, yeah, now here's, so basically that the ongoing project, and again, check it out. Smiling Woman. And it's creepy.
Free on YouTube right now.
Yeah, it's free on YouTube. Check it out. There was one scene that I literally went,
yeah, the heebie-jeebies I saw just come over Tony.
Yeah, it was, yep.
No, that's not for me. So, okay, now, what else? I mean, you've got, okay, so director's cut. I know you got another major film project coming up after that. What, you got to have something coming up. Radio Tower Road, the full film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to do Radio Tower Road. And that's something like I'm going to try to reassess probably this winter, is just kind of go through Radio Tower Road and just see, you know, because I haven't really, like, you know, I worked on the script, you know, it's been a little while. So I need to go back and kind of look at it and see, you know, what, you know, how much it cost to make, and just kind of see like what my options would be to get it made into a feature, especially considering now especially after Rocky gets the score put in it, we can say, look, this is something we made with zero funds. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we can get some money raised, we can really make something amazing that I think a lot of people would really enjoy. So hopefully, like I said, that's one thing I'm going to do this winter. And then there might be a couple other things I might try to do, just depending on, you know, like, if I get anything else piled on my plate last minute, but you know, which I'm always down for. I mean, I also acted in a movie this year. I almost forgot to talk about. It's called Flesh Eaters.
Uh-huh.
And it was filmed Moonlight Films over in Linton, Indiana.
Okay.
So drove over there. I was in their feature film Fangs last year. It actually dropped this year as a vampire mummy movie. It's free on YouTube, so if anyone wants to check it out. And then I'm not sure on Flesh Eaters. I think they wrapped like maybe like last weekend or the weekend before last.
Okay.
So be on the lookout for that. It's a lot of horror fun in it. So,
well, we're going to have the guys from Moonlight Films come out here, and they're going to be on the podcast.
Awesome.
So we'll talk about that.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you're definitely not dismissing anything. Anything that's suggested to you, you'd probably say, yeah, let's give it a try.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, what, on liar, or was it yes man? Or you just say yes to everything. Yeah. That's,
well, we've talked a little bit about the fact that as an indie filmmaker, you have to wear a lot of different hats. Is there one that you like better than the other? Do you like being in front of the camera? Would you rather be behind it? Is writing kind of your passion?
I mean, I love writing, and I love directing, and I love acting. So I can't, of those three, I can't, the only thing I'm not sure if I'd really like it, but I mean, I don't know, I've never tried it, and that's actually direct something that someone else writes. I've never done that before, so I'm not sure how I would feel about something like that. But one thing I do not, like, really care for doing, and that's Foley.
Yeah.
Because Unlisted Owner, we had to do that for the So our distribution deal, one of the requirements was we had to have a M&E track, which is basically the background sound separated from the dialogue.
Oh.
Which we didn't had because it was found footage and everything was filmed on the camera. So we had to, and the difference between found footage to traditionally shot like we filmed for Radio Tower Road is that Radio Tower Road, you're going to have music. So it covers up a lot of stuff.
Right.
Found footage film, there's no music.
Yeah.
So every door creak, every footstep, every, you know, car driving by, everything.
Every broken leaf, every broken stick. Yeah.
So can you imagine for a 74-minute film, you have to recreate every one of those pieces. If you're sitting there filming, if you have outside ambience and there's a car drives by, well, now you got to get that car sound. You got people walking up and down the steps. God forbid if their feet are in the shot, which they were.
Oh, no.
Getting that cadence, because everybody has their own cadence when they walk up and down. I mean, it was a nightmare. And it took us from February to July to do it.
Wow.
And I mean, and that's the thing, like, you know, I'd have to do it late at night when there was no cars driving by. And I found out real quick that the birds wake up earlier than the sun comes up. Or you'd record, like, you'd need, like, wooden steps. And I'd have to call up my friend and be like, hey, I'm going to be at your house at, like, probably 1 a.m. tonight recording this going up the steps. And then you record it, then you put it back in the editor, and then you're like, is that an air conditioner?
So I think I see in your new film, your next film, The Foley Artist Strikes Back.
It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, we did Foley.
He's going to go back to the silent films.
Yeah. I love silent films. But yeah, I mean, we still do Foley. I just don't want to do it for a whole film. I mean, with Kringles, we did Foley. And I guess I don't think we really did Foley for Radio Tower Road because there wasn't any, like, really crazy.
Yeah, you kind of did. I mean, there were some things we recorded.
There were some things, but as far as us actually, like, you know, us sat there and recording
it.
I mean, with Kringles, you know, we had a watermelon with a plastic bag over it, stabbing it with knives, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's true. We didn't, and I guess there's the one sound effect of, never mind, I don't want to give it away. I just want to, but I don't want to.
Unfortunately, we didn't mic the zombie smacking his head on the windowsill. That would have been a hell of
an
addition.
That would have been great effect.
It would have been a nice addition.
So, all right, so you're going to be busy. I can see that. I'm going to keep everybody posted on this. Now, Scream Team Releasing is where you can get 13 Slays. What is the website again for your movie?
Makeflix, MAKEFLIX.com. J.R. Bookwalter, horror icon, legend, known for The Dead Next Door and several other movies. Robot Ninja. This is his kind of like his company that he has a lot. And there's a lot of great films on there. Hide on the Hog.
Ooh, that's got Sid Haig in it.
Legendary. One of my really good friends made that, and I mean there's so many great movies on there. So just be sure to check that out.
Yeah, makeflix.com. Definitely look for Unlisted Owner, and I'll put links on the podcast page so people can just click right on there and find your stuff because it's important. It's very good stuff, and it's, you know, support those indie artists. That's what I say.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I'm quickly beginning to learn that the indie filmmakers, it seems to be like this sort of family that you guys, you know, they call you and say, hey, can you work on this project? And you say, sure, as long as you can come work on this project. And so it seems to be this sort of close knit community.
Moonlight Films, the guys came out here to be an extra Radio Tower Road.
And Jeremy, who's did Six Pack of Horror that I'm going to work on, he drove all the way up. For like 2 hours or whatever, how long it took him to get up here to be in it. So I mean, there's a lot of great guys out there. I mean, I'm not gonna say, like, you know, there are some sharks out there, but I mean, for the majority, I mean, there's a lot of great people, and they all like working together. I mean, no one's out to, like, you know, like, say I'm the king of the indies or anything like that. Everybody, you know, everyone likes to work together. Everyone likes to support each other because, I mean, when you raise the waters, you raise all ships.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and that's another thing too, you know, with a lot of us indie guys, you know, we don't, when we're trying to sell, you know, copies of our movie or try to get people to check out our content or donate to our campaigns, you know, we're not looking to just be like, oh, I'm going to pay off this and, you know, I'm going to buy this. You know, no, we're just wanting, like, the things that are stuck in our head that we want everybody else to see, because in our heads, this looks so cool and we want the whole world to see it. You know, we want funding to be able to share our art with the world and have other people enjoy it besides ourselves seeing it in our heads.
Well, we do that, but with audio, which is why when Gil said, hey, Jed wanted to know if you might be able to cut together a quick commercial for this thing that he's going to put in the trailer. Would you be able to do that? Here's kind of the script that he wants. Here's kind of what he's thinking. And I went, and then, you know, within like 30 seconds, I'm going, oh yeah, hang on. I got to go get this sound effect, this sound effect. And I, you know, and that's Gil gave me a hard time because it seemed like I turned it around really quickly. And I went, well, it was an idea that popped into my head. It needed to come out right now or I was going to go nuts.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And how did I do okay on writing a commercial script?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I never wrote a commercial script before. So I was kind of curious, like, you know, because, I mean, you hit all those.
Honestly, probably better than some of our script writers here. No.
Well, Michael's still on. I don't know. Your covering up didn't work. All right. Well, I tell you what, this comes to an end of another podcast, and I hate to see it end, but you know what? I can't wait to see more stuff from you and work with you some more. I think it's we had a blast every time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and anytime you need somebody to cut together a stupid commercial for one of your movies or need somebody to create some random set dressing, just hit me up.
Okay, awesome.
And I told Gil here a while back, I'm not going to let it go. At some point, I want to do the VO for a trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of those Don LaFontaine in a world.
Oh, my God.
Kind of thing.
That's amazing.
So, right? Yeah.
That's amazing.
Of course, I have to sit there and listen to it every day because I walk in the studio, in a world. Where Gil D steps up to the studio. It's like Randy Newman writing a song about my life. Instead, I got John the Fontaine guy doing my...
One man, one voice.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely be hitting you up soon on that. That's pretty crazy.
So, well, once again, folks, that was Jed Bryan, unlisted owner, 13 Slaves Till Christmas. Look for Radio Tower Road. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to put links on here on the Facebook or on the podcast page. And you can check all this stuff out because it's worth seeing. And you support the indies.
Absolutely.
If nothing else, support the indies.
Well, that's one of the things we've talked about passionately here on the podcast is support the indies, whether it's indie musicians, indie comic book artists, filmmakers, or independent theaters. Eagle Theater, a sponsor, supporter of what we do here on the podcast. They're an independent theater chain.
Right.
Eric Gubelman and his family, they own, I think they're up to 4 theaters now, but very much independent theater. So support indie.
And we're an independent podcast. So
that's right.
There you go. All right. Well, that brings an end to the podcast. And I'm Gil T. Wilson along with
Tony Collins.
We're glad to do this every single week, which we're doing now. And like we say at the end of every single episode, stay nerdy.
It's time to celebrate the triumphant return of Crawford County's only live radio variety show,
Live at the Five.
Gil T. Wilson and Rachel Carter will host with special musical guests and some great interviews.
The best part is
you can now be a member of the live audience. Tickets are only $10. Seating is limited. So get your tickets now at the Rocking Horse in Palestine. Live at the Five, Wednesday, June 9th, 7 to 9 at the Five Opera House in Palestine and right here on Classic Hits WTYE. We'll be right back.